a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
And I'm committed to be another 5 minutes this morning, so I think I'll hold on.
The South Dakota Senate Transportation Committee will come to order. I request that everyone either turn off their cell phones or put them on vibrate as a courtesy to the witnesses and the audience and the members of the committee. With that, we'll have the secretary call the roll.
Senators Cutler, Hansen,
here.
Krebs,
here.
Maher,
here.
Hunstead,
here.
Brisley,
here.
Valley,
here. Just one moment, please. We have everyone here and accounted for except Senator Cutler, who is excused as she's at an NCSL meeting. And Mr. Hunstead, you asked for a personal privilege.
Thank you. I apologize for not being there yesterday.
Yeah, you did. It left more soup for me, and especially those little round sweet things. There was some of those left over, and I really like those. So that was a good part of your not being there, Senator. I got to eat yours. with that, the chair would entertain a motion on the minutes.
So moved.
Is there a second? Been moved by Senator Krebs and seconded by Senator Maher to approve the minutes as written. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes will approved as written. Remind everyone to please sign in at the front podium up there if you're going to testify so the secretary can make sure she has your name right and who you represent. Handouts, if there are any, will be handed out by the pages, and please distribute them from the back. And with that, we'll have our page. Would you just come forward and tell us who you are and what you're planning on doing?
I'm Kimberly Welter. I live in Prussia, and I go to Lyman High School. And next year, I plan to go to Black Hills State University to major in elementary education and minor in music education.
Good. Well, that's great. Thank you. All right. As usual, any questions that we have of the people that are testifying, remember that the questions go through the chair. And with that, we'll have our first presenter this morning. We have Senate Bill number 3, I believe it is. And we have Secretary of Transportation Darren Bergquist.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Darren Bergquist, Secretary for the South Dakota DOT. And the department proposed Senate Bill 3. Senate Bill 3 proposes a change to SDCL 31-4-173. This statute is the contains the definition of where South Dakota Highway 63 is located within South Dakota. The proposed change contained within Senate Bill number 3 would delete Section 4 from that existing statute. The reason for that deletion is a result of the department's reconstruction and reconfiguration or realignment of the intersection on 1434 located west of Hayes. And I think, Mr. Chairman, in consistent with the thought of a picture's worth than a thousand words, I do have a handout that shows this much better than I can probably explain it.
Mr. Secretary, you're not worried that your voice is going to give out, so you're putting these thousand words into a picture. Is that the...
After my presentation to this committee last week, Mr. Chairman, that lasted most of close to 2 hours, my staff suggested to me yesterday that maybe I take a shot at being the shortest proposer of any legislation instead of the longest today. So that's what I'm going to try. As you can see on the handout, on the left is a photo and diagram that shows the prior configuration of this intersection. On the right shows the current configuration. We squared up or teed up the alignment or the intersection of Highway 14. It eliminated the need for that little segment of 63 that you see highlighted in red on the photo and diagram on the left. That portion in red is what's described in subsection 4 of 314173, and that's the section that we're proposing now be eliminated. It's not needed any further. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would request committee support and passage of Senate Bill 3 to clean up this language, and I'd stand by for any question the committee may have.
All right. Any questions that anyone has on this particular piece? Senator Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, now, the situation that it existed the previous, there was a yield sign as you went around that curve?
There's a yield sign on 63. 14 was through traffic.
Okay, but on 14, if you're going northbound and turn east, there was a yield sign instead of a stop sign as you entered onto 34?
Up in the northeast where 14 and 34 merged, yeah. I believe that is correct, yes.
And so now it's a straight-on intersection that would have a stop sign?
Correct. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, I misunderstood that.
Just as a curiosity, any reason why we do away with the curve-type entry rather than the T? Is that safer? Any particular thing that you could tell us about why we do those?
The concern expressed by drivers was when you were northbound on 14 and your intention was to go north on 14 to 34 and then go westbound, southbound traffic on 14, you had a situation where you ended up crossing into oncoming traffic to get on that 63 north segment. And drivers were often not aware of the need to yield to oncoming traffic, so it did create some safety concerns there. And by eliminating that curve section, going to a stop sign at a T intersection at 14, we believe we have improved the safety and if nothing else, the clarified it for users of the system there.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Maher.
Wasn't Governor's Rounds relatives injured at this and maybe even killed at this intersection?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
There was an accident involving one of the governor's brother's families here. I believe they were one of those. It was one of those situations where I just described. They were the southbound vehicle, and a vehicle crossed in, and there was a head-on collision there. I believe there was an unborn child killed, if I remember correctly.
Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is there anywhere else in the state of South Dakota we have Highway 63, or was it always just that few rods of highway?
I drive 63 every time I go home.
Thank you for answering that, Mr. Second Senator Maher. Mr. Chairman, if I might, if you go just a little bit west of the intersection that's shown on the diagram, then 63 actually goes north from here. And then further south, there's another segment of 63. So this is just a very small portion of overall Highway 63 within the state.
May I continue, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah,
and I clearly am not familiar with that. And so 14 and 63 traveled the same route for some period of time, and here they were traveling together, but as 14 went around that little short section, was just called 63.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And if I might add to that, Mr. Sherman, in this location, 14 and 63 did not travel together. We just had this one little segment of 63 connecting 14 and 34.
Wow.
And that part of 63 is no longer needed.
Thank you.
One more question, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Maher.
So does the right-hand side picture, then, will that be able to be farmed then by the local farmer, or does that revert back to the landowner, or does the state still keep the right-of-way?
Go ahead.
I have to confess, Senator Maher, I don't know what the intentions are there. It appears anywhere from the photo that could probably, and I also don't know whether the state owns that in fee title or an easement. If it were an easement, the Transportation Commission could just abandon the easement and it revert back. If it were held in fee title, the commission could approve the department selling that with the adjoining landowner having the first right to purchase it.
So that's all we're abandoning, is just that part that was on the curve of 14.
Correct. Yes.
Senator Hunstead.
I'm asking this. I served on Rules Review for quite a while, and I'm no longer on it. And many kinds of discussions, such as this bill, look pretty complicated when you see them written out. And by the time you get done reading them, you're not sure. In as much as we do this kind of thing in rule, why are we doing this in law? Why couldn't you have just done this through rule as well?
Mr. Chairman, I do not believe, Senator, that the commission has the ability to, by rule, make changes to the definition of what is and is not on the state highway system. That's required to be done by statute. The commission's got rules or has got authority to pass certain rules regarding what you set as the state highway system. For instance, speed zone rules. That's something that's been delegated to the commission, parking rules, those types of things. But the commission doesn't have the authority to do rules adding or taking off segments from the state highway system.
Which, in some instances, may be good, and some instances may be bad.
And it may depend on who you ask as well.
Whose district it's in.
Yeah.
Okay. Any further questions? If not, are there any other proponents of Senate Bill 3? Any other proponents? Last call for proponents on Senate Bill 3. Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 3? Any opponents? Last call for opponents to Senate Bill 3. There are no opponents and no further questions. We will close to public testimony and open up for committee action and or discussion. Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move due pass on Senate Bill 3.
Senator Hunstead has moved to pass, been seconded by Senator Krebs. Any discussion on that motion, Senator Hunstead?
No, the road has been abandoned, and we should approve that and get our law books appropriate.
Okay, anything else? If not, the Secretary will call the roll. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed to Senate Bill 3 say no, and Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Cutler, Hansen,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Hunstead,
aye.
Frisley,
aye.
Valley,
aye. The Senate Bill 3 has passed the Senate Transportation Committee with a unanimous vote of those present. Senator Hansen. You sure can. Is there a second? It's been moved by Senator Hansen, seconded by Senator Krebs to put this on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Any objection to the consent calendar? There's no objection to the consent calendar. We will put it on the consent calendar. Do we have to? Is that a vote? I forgot. That isn't votable, is it?
No, just objection.
Yeah, if there's no objection, and there was none, so we will take Senate Bill 3 to the floor on the consent calendar. In the unlikely event that it would get pulled from the consent calendar, since you moved it, Senator Hunstead, would you talk on this if somebody decides to pull it off the consent calendar?
I will, but I don't have a color copier, so I'll be asking you to help.
Thank you, Senator Hunstead. So, Senate Bill 3 will go to the floor on the consent calendar. The next bill we have up is Senate Bill 55 from the Department of Public Safety. Good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, before I begin, if I could make a comment.
That would be okay.
My name is Randy Cartley. I'm with the Department of Public Safety, and I'm the Assistant Superintendent of the Highway Patrol. And I believe that your page this morning is the daughter of one of our state troopers, and I would just like to go on record saying that she's way better looking than her dad.
thank you. She thanks you. I don't know about her father. He probably recognized that a long time ago, though.
I am here in support of Senate Bill 55. Senate Bill 55 is the annual update to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety and Hazardous Material Regulations. There's two segments in addition to state statutes comprise the majority of the Federal Rural Motor Carrier Services uses to maintain safety and compliance of commercial motor carriers. The rules on the federal level are amended occasionally and can be changed on a monthly basis during a previous year. Adopting changes at least on an annual basis keeps South Dakota current with the rest of the nation. To engage in interstate commerce, commercial motor carriers must pass a vehicle safety inspection. Motor Carrier Services conducts more than 28,000 commercial vehicle safety inspections annually. The regulations in those inspections must be in compliance with every other state in which the motor carrier intends to travel. So essentially, South Dakota has to be the same as every other state. To offset the cost of performing the inspections, South Dakota receives federal grant funding through the Motor Carrier Safety Assistance Program, or MCSAP. To be eligible for MCSAP funding, South Dakota Motor Carrier Services are required to file a commercial vehicle safety plan every year. One caveat in receiving the funding is that the state adopts current federal safety regulations. Senate Bill 55 would meet the requirements and bring South Dakota into compliance for 2012. The content of Senate Bill 55 primarily updates the existing Title 49 of the Code of Federal Regulations from 2011 to 2012. There's very little that has changed in 2011 as it applies to federal motor carrier regulations adopted by South Dakota, but I do have a handout that will explain some of the regulations or some of the changes in the federal code. Do you have those handouts? Okay. They are relatively minor changes. What they essentially consist of is there's a change to hazardous material circumstance, which allows for inspections of certain hazardous material loads. It alleviates a regulation for a saddle mount combination braking requirement. And what a saddle mount combination is when they deliver a new truck, you'll sometimes see a new truck with the front end resting on the back or the carrier portion of another tractor truck. You can have four in line. The last vehicle would no longer have to have brakes under this requirement. And there's also a delay in a compliance date order that would eliminate record-keeping requirements or that would alleviate the record-keeper requirements for intermodal carriers. And what an intermodal carrier is, it's essentially a trailer that is a container. The container itself is the trailer. Right now, a commercial motor vehicle trailer, a truck trailer, has to have an inspection. The intermodal trailers are a container, and the definition of them has not up to this point required a federal inspection. It will, but that has been delayed and will be reviewed again in 2013. I would encourage you to vote to pass on Senate Bill 55, and I would be happy to answer any questions, assuming that I can.
Senator Hunstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The federal government changes these rules, and it's important that our drivers and the trucks that come out of South Dakota meet all these, and so I applaud that your continued vigilance with this and keeping it up. Do we have, do you and your department have any input on these rules? How does that process work when the federal government is getting ready to change rules so that we have rules that meet our needs as well and that we can be heard on conditions we want?
We participate in the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Program, and our motor carrier personnel are allowed to offer input. Sometimes they're imposed upon us, I guess, or imposed upon South Dakota. Each individual portion of the code has to be adopted by the state legislator in order for it to become statute. So this committee, the legislature, would have the authority not to adopt every section of that code. Individually, as an agency, do we have the right to deny that code? Probably not. That would be a legislative process. I don't know if that answers your question, sir.
Well, I believe it does, Mr. Chairman. I believe it does. I was clearly hoping that we have input into that rulemaking process. I mean, in South Dakota, we make rules as well, and our citizens have input into that as well as our committee. So I continue to hope that within your department that you have people that can be at those hearings. I suspect they have hearings of some kind, and that was what I was trying to get at, is what our input might be to the rules process federally.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
We're fortunate here in South Dakota, I believe anyway, that we have a strong ally in the South Dakota Trucking Association, a former commander of ours. We also put a lot of weight in what they say, and we work very closely together with them, and I do believe that we have input. Generally, we're on the same page. It usually is something that has been identified as a problem. Or, you know, there have been a few occasions where we have sent them to Federal Motor Carrier. It doesn't happen a lot. But
just have a quick question. You're saying the intermodal is that the reason that hasn't happened is those, well, for lack of other thing, I'll call them a box that are, you know, affixed to the trailer. You probably have standards for the trailer that the box sits on, but not for the box. And do those box come from a lot of times foreign countries because they just take them off a ship and set them on? And so there's probably not only then do you get into national standards, but international standards on how that box is constructed. Is that a possibility? I'm just trying to figure out why we don't do something with those. And you can help me with the correct name for the box. I'm sure there's a technical name that I'm not using.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that I can give you the correct name for the box either. I was hoping I wasn't going to have to punt on this one, but I'll just introduce John Brewer. Sergeant Brewer or Lieutenant Brewer now is with Motor Carrier Services, and if need be, I will have John answer the question. I believe it has a lot to do with the definition, previous definition of what a trailer was. Essentially, the intermodal container is a trailer. And if you look at the requirements for inspections of a trailer, we had to include the intermodal container in the definition of a trailer. Previously, it was not. The manufacturer of the container has to meet the same requirements as any other trailer, but for motor carrier safety inspections, it wasn't included as part of that definition. And I believe that is the best answer that I can give you. Beyond that, I would ask that Lieutenant Brewer's answer.
Lieutenant Brewer, do you have anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I apologize. My name is Lieutenant John Brewers. I'm with the Highway Patrol Motor Carrier Section.
Thank you.
The intermodal container part, the box, for lack of better terms, it's simply called an intermodal container. And then there's the chassis that container is set upon. It's literally clamped down, and then the truck can be hooked up to it and travel. They've had to meet certain inspection requirements for a few years now, But the main priority in changes in the intermodal containers and the rules that govern them in the last few years is who's responsible for the safety when those are on the roadway. When we do an inspection on one of those, we provide an inspection for the driver and his company because he's responsible for a certain portion of that safety, if not in the end, all of it. But then that container and chassis provider is responsible as well. And now they get a copy of the inspection as well. What the change this year comes down to is they have to do a daily vehicle inspection report on the chassis and the container. And they're eliminating the requirement to provide for the driver to provide a copy of that inspection when it's a clean inspection, when there's no defects found, that needs to go back to the intermodal container provider and the chassis provider. What the feds are saying in this is someone brought that to their attention that this probably isn't necessary that we go through all this paperwork when there's no defects found, because if it's good, it's assumed to be good. If there's violations, we'll take care of those. But why are we going through all the paperwork and the motions just to show proof there was nothing happened here? And what we're doing here is we're eliminating that requirement to provide that. The feds have said, you know, we agree that there probably isn't a need to do this paperwork. So we agree with the industry that we need to eliminate that requirement. So what they're doing here is they're changing a compliance date. You still have to do those inspections. But they're saying, give us a little time. We'll go through the proposed rulemaking process to change our rules. And so they're giving them a delay there so they can change that rule. And then that would turn into a final rule where that's no longer required to have that inspection return to the provider.
Thank you. Any further questions on that particular aspect? All right. Any further questions on Senate Bill 55? Any further questions on Senate Bill 55? All right. Are there any other proponents of Senate Bill 55? Any other proponents of Senate Bill 55? Morning, Donna.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Transportation Committee. I'm Donna Leitsky. I'm the Executive Director of the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And in all my years, we've always supported this adoption of these rules. We carry only hazardous materials, and we feel that it's extremely important that we keep up to date with the federal rules and in compliance with surrounding states, as we do cross state borders a lot to haul fuel, propane, and gas back into our state. So we urge you to pass this. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Not? Further proponents of Senate Bill 55. Further proponents of Senate Bill 55. Morning, Mr. Rao.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate Transportation Committee. It's nice to be here again. It's a comfortable place to be. And I certainly feel better this year than I did last year. We also rise in support. Myron Rao, South Dakota Trucking Association. Excuse me. There are times when we, and I'm speaking about Senator Hunstad's comment earlier, there are times when we don't like what's being done, but we really have no choice, because otherwise you end up with a checkerboard. When most of the members of the South Dakota Trucking Association travel 48 states, and if South Dakota chooses to not do something, that doesn't mean that Missouri or Iowa or somewhere else hasn't. So we encourage our members to comply with all of these rules, and we discourage a checkerboard. So there are some things, and not in this adoption, but the bill you'll consider next year, there are some contentious things that I'm sure the Highway Patrol will talk about, and so will we. But in this particular adoption, that is not the case. Like I say, I look forward to the conversation next year, because I think it'll be different. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Senator Hunstad.
Right, but thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I have understood, though, from the previous supporter of this bill, that we do have input, or we have folks, perhaps yourself, that look at those rules and testify on them federally?
Mr. Chairman.
Please.
I don't... I shouldn't say there's not testimony allowed, but to my knowledge, there is no testimony allowed. It's all done by written comment.
Okay.
And they receive 25, 30, sometimes 50,000 comments. The new hours of service proposal, for instance, I think there were over 100,000 comments that they have to wade through before they make their decision, but I do not believe they take testimony.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rao. Any other proponents of Senate Bill 55? Any proponents of Senate Bill 55? Last call for proponents of Senate Bill 55. Are there any opponents of Senate Bill 55? Any opponents? Last call for opponents of Senate Bill 55. There are no other proponents or opponents and no further questions. We'll close it to public testimony and open it up for committee discussion and or action. Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Move due pass on Senate Bill 55.
Senator Krebs has moved due pass and seconded by Senator Hansen. Any discussion on that motion?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
If not, if there's no further discussion, those in favor of Senate Bill 55 will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Cutler, Hansen,
aye.
Krebs,
aye.
Maher,
aye.
Hunstad?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Valley?
Aye. Senate Bill 55 has received the favorable vote of a unanimous majority of those present, six, and will go to the floor. Senator?
Mr. Chairman?
It has passed. Okay, now, Senator Hansen.
May I move that this be placed on consent?
You sure may. Senator Hansen has moved. We put this on the consent calendar. Is there a second?
Second
by Senator Krebs. Anyone opposed to this bill being on the consent calendar? Anyone opposed? If there is no opposition to placing this on the consent calendar, Senate Bill 55 will go on the consent calendar. In case someone would want to pull it off the calendar, Senator Hansen, would you explain it to the body? Thank you. With that, Senate Bill 55 will go to the floor on the consent calendar. That ends the bills that we have today. I said we'd be done by 9 o'clock. I missed it by 5 minutes. With that, we have about five bills. We'll take probably about three next week. I'm looking at... because I see some interested parties in the audience, if we took up bills 16 and 17, would that present a problem on Monday? All right, we will put at least Senate bills 16 and 17 on the docket for Monday, and I'll look and see if there's another one that we would put in there. Anything else for the good of the committee? What time? Kind of depend upon how many. I suppose I should do that before we all leave. Let's start at 8. We'll start at 8 o'clock on Monday. Is there anything else to come before the committee? If not, the chair would entertain a motion for adjournment. The move by Senator Hunstad, seconded by Senator Frisley to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion passes. Meeting adjourned.